Thank you, and I am from Oakland, and I'm trying not to remember the fact that my body thinks it's 6 o'clock in the morning right now. I'm really excited to be here, and like my bio said, I'm from Public Health Law and Policy. We are a nonprofit based in Oakland, but we work nationally, primarily with states and communities on policies to create healthier places to live. And so what I'm going to call the toy giveaway law, which establishes standards for kids' meals if restaurants want to provide toys with them, is one of the policy areas that we've worked on quite a bit, along with many of the people on the panel. And since it's Halloween week, and perhaps many of you have had to miss Halloween with your families, I thought I'd throw in a little bit of a Halloween theme for today's presentation. You'll see why in a moment. But first, I have to say I don't have any financial relationships, and because I work with a lot of lawyers, I also have a couple other disclaimers to add, one of which is that this is for information only, and we don't form attorney-client relationships, so this is not legal advice. And then also, I am not lobbying you right now. I'm just providing information about policy options. And then I have a third disclaimer, which is that I am not an attorney. I'm filling in for a colleague who's an attorney. And so I'm going to talk about some legal issues involved with the toy giveaway law, but I can't, I probably won't be able to answer really specific questions about these legal strategies. So I can definitely connect you with people back at home who will be able to answer those questions. All right, now we can have some fun. So this is the audience interaction portion of the presentation, and the question is, how many kids' meals did fast food restaurants sell with toys in 2006 in the United States? Anybody venture just a guess?
50
million? Any other guesses?
20 million.
20 million? Anybody else? 100 million? Well, unfortunately, you guys are all like orders of magnitude too low.
Oh, man.
1.2 billion kids' meals were sold in the United States with toys in 2006. So at Public Health Law and Policy a few years ago, you know, we got to thinking, what would be the public health impact if these meals actually had to meet some standards? And so our model ordinance for healthier toy giveaway meals was born. We wrote this model ordinance. It's on our website. You can go to our website and download it, and I'll show our web address later on. And you can use it as a starting point if this is a strategy that you're considering in your community. So basically, the intent is to take meals that look like this. And Bethany did a nice overview of some of the specific issues with kids' meals and make them a little healthier. And so I'm going to talk about three legal issues that we thought about as we were writing this ordinance and give you some ideas for things that you need to do back at home if you're going to pursue a toy giveaway ordinance. So this is the Halloween theme portion of the presentation, and we're going to take a trip to the spooky cemetery to meet our three legal concepts. The first is the First Amendment, which is a ghost, and I'll explain later why. The second is local authority, which is a skeleton. And the third is preemption, the preemption mummy. So let's first talk about the First Amendment. Okay. Most people know the basic gist of the First Amendment. It protects our freedom of conscience, your right to say nasty things about your elected officials, your right to express yourself artistically without fear of censorship from the government. What people don't realize, though, is that the First Amendment also protects companies' right to advertise or Mr. McDonald here, what lawyers call commercial speech. So this means that under federal constitutional law, it's very difficult for communities, say, to regulate where fast food billboards are in the community. And Massachusetts learned this the hard way several years ago when the Supreme Court struck down a statewide ban on tobacco billboards near schools. The court held that the ban infringed too broadly on the company's rights to express information about their products, and the rights of adults of legal smoking age to receive that information. So we need to dig into this a little bit more deeply and think about how lawyers think about marketing. It's very different from how corporations think about marketing. In the corporate world, marketing activities are basically everything that they do. So everything from the logos on their trucks that are driving around the city to where the products are in a store to television advertisements. They consider all of that marketing. Lawyers think about it a little differently. They think about marketing as commercial speech, so things that are protected by the First Amendment, and other marketing practices that are not considered commercial speech and therefore not protected by the First Amendment. Now, there are activities that fall very clearly in the left-hand bucket under commercial speech. So things like TV advertisements, radio advertisements, print ads, billboards fall into that left-hand bucket. Other marketing practices that wouldn't be considered protected speech and are very clearly in that right-hand bucket are things like where restaurants are located in a community, the price of products, and the ingredients in a product. And so those things can be regulated much more easily by states and localities, like through zoning, where restaurants can be in a community, taxing certain products, and requiring or prohibiting certain ingredients like trans fats. So you might be wondering, where do toys fall, in the left-hand or the right-hand bucket? Where does this toy Hummer, which, you know, that's like a whole other presentation about what's wrong with that, but where does this fall? So I have to read this sentence because I had to practice it in front of my lawyer colleague many times so I get it right. Based on case law thus far, our lawyers have concluded that there is a strong argument to be made that toys are not commercial speech and therefore are in the right-hand bucket. That doesn't mean that your community won't be subject to a lawsuit if they pass one of these laws. Fast food restaurants may still sue just to scare communities and keep them from passing these laws. And so this is my first of many plugs to work with a local attorney who's familiar with the First Amendment issues involved here and who is prepared to defend a lawsuit if one comes your way. Oh, and there's the area, right-hand bucket. Okay, so there's our First Amendment ghost, and the reason that it's a ghost is that it can be very nice and friendly, but it could cause unexpected problems if provoked. So we'll put him behind that little headstone, and we'll go to our local authority skeleton. So states delegate authority to their local jurisdictions to pass laws in the interest of health, safety, and welfare. Some states, like California, provide very broad authority to their local jurisdictions to pass laws. Other states are much more restrictive, and local governments have very little authority. And there are lots of states in between. So another plug for talking to an attorney in your state who can advise you on where your state falls on that spectrum. Just as a side note, a little factoid, this kind of structure of having states provide little authority to local governments is a kind of historical relic. Most states were like that long ago, and they've evolved to provide more and more over time. Just to provide you an example of how this can create a barrier to these types of laws, we got a call from someone in a state who she wanted to pass one of these laws in her community, and the first thing my colleague said was, well, you need to find out if your community has the authority to actually pass one of these laws. So the advocate went back to her attorney, and it turns out she was in one of those states that has very limited authority, and so this was not a possible strategy, obesity prevention strategy. So definitely find out if this is possible before you invest too much time into it. So the reason that we call this the skeleton is that it's a relic from the past that continues undead in some communities, unexpectedly rising from the grave to thwart good local ideas. And finally, the mummy of preemption. So preemption is the invalidation of state and or local laws by a higher level of government. So federal law can preempt state or local law, and state law can preempt local law. So this means that even if your community has the local authority to pass one of these laws in general, you may be preempted by state government. And the results of preemption are that you will always get uniformity at either the state or the federal level. This is a strategy that industries have used to try to get preemptive laws on the books at higher levels of government, because it's easier for them to follow kind of one uniform regulation at a state level or a federal level, rather than having to follow particular regulations in many different communities that may vary in small ways. It can sometimes create a regulatory vacuum. So a state may preempt their local's authority to regulate in a particular area, but then they don't pass their own law establishing some sort of standard. And then the third thing to be aware of is that preemption always results in the loss of local control, because the state or the federal government is sort of taking that authority to regulate. And if you worked in the tobacco wars 10 or so years ago, you know that this was a very common tactic. Preemption was a common tactic of the tobacco industry. They fought to get preemptive laws at the state and federal level so that they wouldn't have to fight individual battles in every community where they knew they had a lot less power, a lot less influence over local elected officials and communities. And there's a nice quote, I guess it's nice, from a tobacco lobbyist who had this sort of change of heart on his deathbed. He was dying of tobacco-related cancer, and he said, we could never win at the local level, so the Tobacco Institute, which was the tobacco lobbying arm, and tobacco companies' first priority has always been to preempt the field, preferably to put it all on the federal level, but if they can't do that, at least on the state level. And we're now seeing this tactic being used by fast food or by the restaurant industry, particularly with regards to the toy giveaway laws. In response to the two communities in California passing these laws, three states have already passed preemptive laws and created this regulatory vacuum that I alluded to before, where they said our local jurisdictions can't do it, but then they didn't establish their own toy giveaway laws at the state level. And just to highlight two of these, Arizona, this is part of Arizona's law. The items in yellow are kind of common preemptive language. So the first part says that the issue of toy giveaways with restaurant meals is a matter of statewide concern. So that's signaling that we want to deal with this at the state level. And then the second part says basically that the regulation of toy giveaways is not subject to further regulation by a local jurisdiction. And that further is really interesting because it implies that it's already being regulated, but it's actually not by anyone. Back to our map. Another one I want to highlight is Ohio, because we saw another common preemptive tactic in Ohio, which is the preemption language was slipped into a budget bill that was 5,000 pages long, and it had nothing to do with restaurants or health, it really slipped under the radar of a lot of advocates, and so it wasn't debated, it wasn't really discussed, and now local jurisdictions in Ohio can't pass these laws. If this is something, I spent a lot of time on preemption just because it's something that public health folks should be aware of no matter what you work on. If you want to learn more or educate your colleagues about it, we have four fact sheets that provide a lot of great, simple, basic information about preemption. And the reason that it's a mummy is that it's a pharaoh with concentrated power that is quashing innovation at the local level. So how do you avoid these scary, scary monsters? First off, check out our model policy at phlpnet.org. If you search for it, you'll find it. And we've thought through a lot of these things and provide you with a really good starting point from a public health perspective and a legal perspective if this is a strategy you're pursuing in your community. Again, work with a local attorney. And we even have a fact sheet to tell you about how to do that, what city attorneys have to do with obesity prevention. And this explains a little bit about what their role is in the work. You can call us or email us, we're happy to talk through more specific legal issues or help you think through how to approach an attorney to talk to them about this strategy. And finally, I leave you with my Halloween costume from 2 years ago. I was the food police from the nanny state, and I had my tool belt of celery and bananas and carrots.
That's awesome.
So feel free to get in touch, and I'll take questions at the end. Thanks.
Perfect.